Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli, your Money, Riches, and Wealth. And you know, every time we have a theme song, there's always somebody screaming in the middle of it, you know? Did you ever notice that? That first one we had for years, somebody screaming in it, and this one, somebody screams in it. Anyway, we're here, and I've got one of my associates back with me here live in the studio, Michael P. McCarthy.
You were getting a little too far out there. I have to come on here and rein you back in.
I think he decided that I was doing too much on my own. I was becoming too popular without him. And So here he is back again.
I want to jump back on the coattails.
He says, you know, this guy's like 63 years old and I'm only 36 years old. And if he's hits by the beer truck, how's anybody going to know who else is in the company?
Yeah, there you go.
So he had to come in and be with me today. And it's great to have him. And we're on an open show. We're just doing open shows until the callers stop calling and say, hey, I've run out of questions. So we've had a lot of calls in the last 2 or 3 months for those open shows. And so I've decided to just go open shows for a while. Every once in a while, if I really have a guest that I feel is timely and I need to talk to them, we're going to do it. Or if I have a big guest like we had with Chuck Schwab at the beginning of the year, I mean, you know, I think everybody enjoyed that interview with Chuck. His advice is eternal, you know, it never goes out, you know, it's just straightforward, simple advice that really is always good to hear. And so if we have a great guest or if we have a guest that's really timely, like last week we were talking PPP loans, they changed the rules and so forth. So I wanted to get that in. And I just want to reiterate, Mike, that they made a new law change just in the last 2 weeks about required minimum distributions. If you took your money out of the IRA January 1 of this year or later because you thought you were going to have a required minimum distribution.
And any kind of IRA.
Or any kind of 401k plan, 403b, any kind of retirement plan. You took a required minimum distribution, inherited IRA, and all of a sudden you find out later that they said, hey, you don't have to do that. Even inherited IRAs, which never, ever, ever could you take money out and put it back in, even if they changed the rules. There were no exceptions. You take it out, you pay. They're even saying inherited IRAs, you can put inherited 401ks, whatever, you can put it back in before August 31st. So that's still 2 more months from today. You have to put it back in and say, I don't want to pay taxes on it.
Yeah, that's great.
It is great. But and the cool thing is that if you've already done it, and you don't want to put it back in, you could still turn around and do a Roth conversion with it. You could take money that you would normally do, put it back in your IRA, and then convert it over to Roth IRA. And you didn't put it back in to stop from paying the taxes. You just put it back in so you could do a Roth conversion with it, so you could take money that you have after tax and put it into a Roth IRA for tax-free forever and ever.
If you're used to that tax bracket that you've already been in and you'd be in anyway, might as well do that, get that tax-free forever. But also, you know, always consider what the timing is, what next year looks like for you. If you know that, you know, this year you're still working, but next year you're retiring, all those things play into it. But it's a wonderful strategy.
But you see, here's the point, is that there are a lot of people out there that work with stockbrokers and insurance agents as their financial advisors. You know, our company is spending a lot of time looking at who took money out of IRAs and 401ks and so forth and saying, hey, wait a minute, we can put that back before August 31st. Maybe we ought to do it. And even if you want to keep that money, what we're going to do is we're going to just move this money over to the Roth IRA and do a conversion. But that's what it professional financial advisor is supposed to do, Mike?
Good accountants and good financial advisors are great at Excel spreadsheets.
That's right. That's what we do. We have more Excel spreadsheets than we know what to do with. But that's what we're supposed to be doing.
That's what we're supposed to be doing.
You know, we're not supposed to just invest their money and take their the commissions and the fees and whatever off of it and then say, you know, don't worry when the market drops. That's what they, you know, we're supposed to be doing this kind of tax planning and so forth. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. I'm going to Mark. Mark in Baltimore City. How can we help you?
I'm doing fine. And by the way, I want to wish you and all your listeners a meaningful 4th of July holiday this coming weekend, first of all.
Thank you.
Okay. There's such a thing called mandatory retirement. In other words, if you're in a certain profession, you love the work, you love the job, and you're still functioning, then you have to retire at age, forced to retire, actually. It's a law, age 70 or whatever. I've read and know people in their, even in their early 90s, still working and still functioning.
Yeah, there are still a few professions that require that, like the airline pilots. You know, they have to retire at 65, and they feel
that. Oh, I didn't know that.
You know, and there are other professions. Some professions, you have to just take a test to prove that you can continue to work past a certain age. But, yeah, there are professions like that, and there aren't a lot of them, but there are a few.
All right, and does that mean that if they're – I mean, they're not just doing it for the money. They love the job, and they've been doing it for years and deserve us. But why should they have to, depending upon the circumstances, have to somehow deal with life's realities at a forced age, if for nothing else, when they may want to save more money for retirement later on? What do you think?
You know, I mean, it is what it is. I don't make the laws, and I wish
specific.
I could change it, you know. I have lots of clients that are airline pilots, and they know they have to retire at a certain age. I have police officers, they have to retire at a certain age. Military, usually they don't actually have to retire, but they're sort of forced out at a certain age. Or once you get a certain amount of stars, there's nowhere else to go and you got to leave. So, you know, that's just the way it is, Mark. And I wish I could give you more on that. I got to go to traffic. Great question.
I hope you have a happy holiday.
And
you too.
Great. Happy 4th of July to everyone out there. But right now, I've got to go to traffic. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated? Are just a few of the many parts of the physical. The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and I am here with my associate Michael P. McCarthy. And if you want to call in on an open show, I do have a couple people on the line. I'm coming to you in a second. But if you want to call in, there's still plenty of lines open, 410-922-6680. Oh. Show, you get to be the guest. You get to determine the direction of the conversation and say, you know, this is what I want to know. And if you tell me the answer to this, this will help me tremendously. And we're going to Arnold in Severna Park. Not Arnold in Arnold, but Arnold in Severna Park.
I used to be Arnold. I didn't want to change the name to confuse the good folks at WCBM, longtime caller.
All right, Arnold. Good to have you. What can we do for you?
Thank you. First time call to this show. I am 52 years old, a recent retiree from Maryland state government.
All right.
Kind of low. So I do have a modest pension. And
is that that's the new pension, or is it the old pension? I'm assuming it's new.
they had so many of them over the 30 years I worked there. I was not lucky enough to have the old ones.
Yeah, okay.
I have better than what they're offering now. They're offering almost nothing now there now. So they'll contribute to some IRAs, but that's, I think that's what Hogan wants to do. So quick question. I had heard that it is possible to take some money out of an IRA penalty-free up until the end of the year. Again, I'm 52 years old. I have both a Roth and a conventional, and I'm more than well set with both of them.
So in order to get money out penalty-free, you have to have been affected by COVID-19 in some way, have you?
Well, yeah. I mean, my day-to-day living, and I have health issues. Immunity compromised.
So did you leave work because of that? Is that why you retired?
No.
No. You see, you got to have something that you can specifically point to. You had COVID-19. Somebody in your family had COVID-19. You lost your job. You
lost income is the main.
Lost income because of it. There has to be something like that. Now,
lost child care. I think that's one of the reasons.
Lost child care. But there's reasons, and there's a list of them. And if you can qualify for one of them, then absolutely you can take it out without penalty. And in addition, you can pay it back over 3 years if you want to, and not have to pay income taxes on it. So it's an interesting rule right now. You just have to have, if they question you, and I don't think they actually will, but if they question you, you have to have proof that you meet the requirements. And whoever does your tax return would have to have proof that you met the requirements, too.
Okay, it's not like anybody can just do it.
It's not like anybody can just do it. The rules are pretty broad, so you can drive a truck through them to some degree. I would just strongly recommend that you read them and see that you feel confident that you abide to them. And maybe if you give us a little time somewhere between now and the end of the show, Mike will pull it up online, give you the list of all five or six of them and how they word them so you know exactly what they are. And then you can look it up yourself again, look them over later. Okay?
I'd appreciate that, and thank you very much.
All right, Arnold. Good call. Good question. And we're going to, I got to put my glasses on. You know, I can't see these things without glasses. And Chris keeps telling me to put my glasses on. He's got a message. I didn't even read it. Please put your glasses on. You accidentally grabbed the wrong line. Oh, well, there you go. Sorry about that. Bob in Aberdeen, I should have grabbed you last. So I hope you feel okay for me waiting for this.
Yeah, that's fine.
There you go. See, he didn't mind. Go ahead, Bob.
I just have a question about Roth IRA. I know you said before you could get that till 15 July.
Yes, sir. You can do one until July 15th.
Right. My question is, if I already filed the taxes for 2019, does that matter?
No, sir. Now, are you single or married?
Married.
You have to have less than $193,000 of income, adjusted gross income, to do it. So if you did, then you're golden.
Okay, so I can just go ahead and get it. I don't have to worry about reporting it.
No, you know, a lot of times when you do the tax return, you tell the program that you're doing a Roth IRA, but there's no reporting to the IRS that happens from your tax return. The tax program is merely looking to see that you're in compliance of the adjusted gross income rules and things of that sort. That's the only reason you put it in the program. Otherwise, you just give it to your custodian, your brokerage firm, or whoever you do it with. They'll report what's called a 5498 next year to the IRS. The IRS will run some computer compliance things, see if everybody's in line, but that's all there is to it. Doesn't change your return at all. So I strongly recommend you to do it before July 15th if you're qualified.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Good question. Excellent question. Did you get those answers?
I do.
Here you go. Arnold in Severna Park. Not
Arnold. So, Arnold, the rules are that you or your spouse is diagnosed with COVID-19, which is confirmed by a CDC-approved test, so keep your test result.
There you go.
Or you experience financial consequences, adverse financial consequences as a result of you or your spouse or a member of the individual's household being quarantined, and that generally means government quarantine, which means they came and they stuck the letter on the door that says this person
I think that means that, like you and I, we were told not to go to work.
Well, if we were told not to go to work and not get paid.
That's
you'd
correct.
You have to have an adverse financial consequence as a result of one of
these things.
Being furloughed or laid off or having work hours reduced, unable to work due to lack of child care, closing or reduced hours of a business that they own and operate, having pay or self-employment income reduced, having job offer rescinded or start date delayed.
Yeah, and if you have one of them, you can take up to $100,000, and you have 3 years to repay it if you want to. You can even pay the income taxes over 3 years, too, I believe. But those are the rules to not have a penalty. And if, Arnold, if you meet one of those guidelines, then yes, there are some that are a little broad that you could kind of try to drive through. But, you know, they're there. Don't just go taking money out of IRAs and things thinking that everyone could do it right now.
Right.
So anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. And I want to go back to this required minimum distribution, that if you took money out of an IRA thinking you had a required minimum distribution, you can put it back in before August 31st. And there's a lot of really cool tax planning strategies you can do with this, and you should be doing with it. If you have, you know, even if you don't want to pay it back, there's still strategies you ought to be considering. Now, here's the really cool thing, Mike. There are a lot of people who are saying, hey, I don't have a required minimum distribution, so I can't take money out of my IRA to give to charity.
No.
You should still be doing it. The law does not require it to be a RMD, right? A required minimum.
It's still likely the best place to take the money from for a charitable donation.
Only thing that's required is you being 70 and a half years or older. Now, that's very specific. And 70 and a half years or older. You can't be 70 and a quarter.
Not anytime that year.
No.
After.
Only after you turn 70 and a half. And if you're giving any amount of money to charity, $100, $500, $1,000, you should be saying to your IRA custodian, cut the check from my IRA account and give it to me to give to my custodian.
But for any of our clients listening, do try to bunch those together so we can do the paperwork at once.
We always tell everyone that if you're giving $100 a month to your church, then call us and get a check for $1,200 and give them a lump sum check. You know, you don't want to go every month back to your custodian asking for
reasonable.
Yeah, administratively reasonable. But if I'm just giving $100 to Salvation Army and that's all I'm going to give them for the year, you should still take it.
Absolutely.
Now, if you're doing $20 or $10 or $50, I'm not going to, you know, tell – nobody wants you to come and ask for a $50 check to give to somebody. But $100 starts to get to be reasonable for somebody to start asking for that. And you should be doing this. Qualified charitable distribution. If you're giving money to a charity and you want to give money to a charity, do not write a check. If you're over 70 and a half years of age, go to your IRA custodian. And this is important, Mike. It has to be an individual retirement account. It cannot be a 401k. It cannot be a 403b. It's got to be your IRA.
Now, if they're a client of ours, this is something that we always make sure we do. But if you're not a client of ours, something that you want to make sure you do is get the check written to the charity, but sent directly to you. Do not have them send it directly to the charity, because the one thing you still want to have is that receipt from the charity saying that they recognize this donation came from you and you received no goods or services.
That's absolutely critical, Mike. And if you don't have that, let's say I give a $1,000 check to my church in a lump sum, okay? And I don't get a receipt. And then the IRS comes back to me and says, send me all your receipts to your charitable contributions you deducted last year. And I can't pull up that receipt right away. They'll deny the deduction even if I can get the receipt, because the law is very clear. You have to have the receipt in hand when you file the tax return, not when the IRS comes and asks you if you have the receipt. So it's important to do what Mike was just talking about. And so anyway, we're on an open show today. You're the guest. You get to determine the direction of the conversation. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, lines are open right now. I got to go on a pause. So while I'm on that pause, please call in and ask your question. 410-922-6680 right now. I'm going to traffic. Take it away.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And if you want to call in and direct the conversation, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Got a couple callers online, but there are plenty of lines open, so feel free to call in, 410-922-6680. Rebecca, how can we help you?
Well, I'm 61, I'm not working, and I'm concerned if Obamacare is turned over by the Supreme Court, how can I pay for that, and how I should structure my finances?
Well, that's a difficult one, because I don't have an answer for that, you know. Are you working?
Can I get a prize?
Okay. Are you working?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Are you on disability?
No, my husband passed away, and I'm on his Social Security and a pension plan he had.
So you're 61, so you're on Social Security as a widow, as a survivor benefit. And so if you're on Social Security as a widow on a survivor's, it still doesn't give her right to get onto Medicare.
To wait till 65.
Did you have any medical insurance through your late spouse's company?
No, he was self-employed.
He was self-employed. So your only answer is going to be you would have to go and get a private policy and just pay the full price for it without the credits. So the exchange would still get you a policy without pre-existing conditions, but you'll now have to pay the full premium as opposed to the premium less the subsidy from the premium tax credits.
Well, let me ask you something. What are they considerable? Do they go after earned income or because I also have a trust fund.
Well, any adjusted gross income on your tax return is being reported to the exchange to determine what your premium would be, regardless if it's a trust or not. As long as the trust is distributing the income to you, it will appear on your tax return.
Right. I haven't done that yet because it hasn't happened yet.
Well, if you haven't distributed anything, so but you're talking two different things. You're talking about how to keep available through Obamacare and keep your premium tax credit intact. And the other side of the coin, what if Obamacare gets overturned? The answer is that you'll still be able to get the insurance, in my opinion, but your premium will now be all on you, not subsidized by the government.
Do you think that will happen right away? Or, like, take a couple years? I mean,
speculative, but I don't think so. I mean, I don't.
Well, I mean, even I don't think the Supreme Court is going to rule in their favor anyway, because they figure, regardless, the next president, the next Congress, the next Senate should make those kind of decisions, not the Supreme Court. So, and I think they're just going to try to punt and put it off for as long as they can. All right.
Well, I shouldn't panic.
I wouldn't panic right now. I'd wait. And if you ever have anything for right now, I think your odds are low that it'll be overturned. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Don in Cadenceville, how can we help you?
Yes. I want to find out a Roth IRA. Say down the road, you work part-time making $5,000 a year.
Okay.
And you have a savings account that you have, a lot more than that.
Okay.
And
so every year you can do a Roth IRA for $5,000 if that's all you earned, and you can just keep shifting it in there.
So say you have $10,000 in your savings, can you put up to $7,000 in?
No, you can only put in up to the earned income you have, up to $7,000, whichever is lesser.
Oh, so.
So if you make $5,000, you can do $5,000. If you make $6,000, you can do $6,000. If you make $10,000, you can do $7,000.
Okay. So you put it in as soon as you can.
Yeah, any year you're qualified. And remember, you have to have the income limits You have to. Are you married or single?
Single.
Single. So, and how old are you?
58.
So you're able to do the 7,000, and you can't make this year more than 123,000. No, me. I think it's actually 126,000 this year. That's the beginning of the phase out, and the full phase out takes place to 131, I believe. Isn't it 126 to 131, or is it 123 to 130?
137.
So it's 120.
I'm sorry, it went up for 2020, it's under 139,000.
So, but what's the starting? 124. 124 to 139, that's what you're saying. 124, if you make over 124, you start getting phased out. If you make over 139, you're fully phased out.
From your modified adjusted income, so I think that's probably adding your to. But one thing I want to, because I overheard you say, you said you have savings, you have money in savings account. If the money's in the savings account and you have some anxiety about moving it over to the Roth because you're worried you may need it, just remember that you can take your contributions back.
Oh, he's 58. Have you ever had a Roth account before, Don?
Yes, I've had it for like 20 years.
Next year he's fully able to take all of his money out of his Roth 100% tax-free and whenever he wants to.
Right.
But like Mike's saying, you can always take your contributions back from a Roth without penalty, even if you're 25, So you should definitely be moving the money in there, but you can only do up to your earned income or 7,000, whichever is lesser. Okay.
124 to 139 and 196 to 206.
Right.
All right, great. Thanks.
All right, Don, good question.
All right, bye-bye.
So, Mike, I want to address something to our listeners. I think the most important advice that we can give in today's environment, okay? And we're seeing this a lot. I had a client today, you had a client today, that are both off the charts in emotion about what's happening. I had an email today from very good people, very intelligent, but they're concerned. And they're overtly concerned. And here's the thing, is that everybody seems to be getting overly concerned. And the reason that people are getting overly concerned, either one way or the other, is because of what is going on in media and politics, in my opinion. Okay? Media, 30, 40 years ago, there were only three channels you could ever watch. There was only one newspaper you could ever read, depending on what town you were in, And they tried to keep the journalism and the advertising as totally separate, and they tried to do as fair and balanced as they could because they didn't matter. They had a monopoly. Didn't matter to them. There was very little competition and so forth. The internet comes along, and all of a sudden, they have anybody can read any newspaper they want to. Anybody can watch any television. Cable comes along. You have 50.
Anybody can start a newspaper.
Anybody can start one. And you can go to Facebook and start a newspaper of your own and write journal. Even if it's fake news, people can read it and believe that what Mike is telling me is the honest truth, et cetera, et cetera. And now there's millions and millions of opportunities to read and get the news and so forth. And so what's happening is the way they get you there is they've got to invoke emotion. They've got to invoke fear. They've got to invoke greed. They've got to invoke something emotional to you to say, come back for more, come back for more. And so what they do is they feed whatever it is that you're into. If you're into the right message, they're going to give you it and they're going to give it to you hard. If you're into the left message, they're going to give it to you and they're going to give it to you hard.
And the great point is not just hard, harder than the other guy because they've got to outshine.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The message has to be louder, more grand, more sensational.
The politicians come in and say, yeah, ramp this up even more because I got to get my base going, man. And so what's happening is lots of people are being sucked in to media and politician story, and you know it if your emotions are rising too much. If your emotions are rising, you've been sucked in to this media and political message, and it is disastrous to your health. It is disastrous to your finances. And the answer always is found. I found this to be true. The answer is always found in the middle. It doesn't mean that it's a perfect answer, but whoever has a message over here on the far right and whoever has a message over here on the far left, take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, mix it together and put it in the middle. And that's what used to happen in politics. You know, that's the way they used to do politics in the past. They used to fight and fight on front, and then they get behind the scenes and they say, okay, Tip, what do you got over here? And he goes, look, this is what I'm concerned about, Ronnie. And Ronnie said, okay, Tip, I understand that. And they're behind the scenes. They're drinking scotch. They're having a nice meal. Nobody knows they're talking to each other. They come out and they come up with a compromise and they say, this is what we're going to do. It's not perfect, but it's as good as we're going to do. And until we get back to that, until we get people off the center, off the point of, oh, I'm right. I'm the only one that's right. Oh, I'm right. I'm the only one that's right. And you go and say, wait a minute, everyone's got good points. Now let's bring it together. Let's bring it to the middle. I don't think the middle's perfect, but it's a lot better than hardcore here and hardcore there. And even this radio station will do this. You know, every television, every radio station is going to try to invoke those emotions. But the money, riches, and wealth is not going to do that because we're investors and we want you to be great investors. And you're never going to be a great investor if you allow emotions from media and politicians drive your intellect and your thoughts. And that's what happens when the emotions get driven. And I tell you, I read a lot of articles and I watch a lot of shows and I listen to a lot of podcasts. And I always know who's trying to drive my emotions, and I've got to bring them back to the middle. It's probably the most important message I can ever give someone.
No, I think that's fantastic. And I think that what you said there at the end that really hit with me is that, you know, when you hear it and you realize, oh, wait a minute, they're sensationalizing this for me. This person wants to evoke that.
Yep.
That's you when you got to turn yourself down.
Right. We got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, Mikey McCarthy with me tonight, and we're on an open show, 410-922-6680, and I've got Joe in Baltimore City. Joe, how can we help you?
Hello, sir. I enjoy the show a lot.
Well, thanks.
I have three daughters. Two of them pretty sharp, have real good jobs. They're out of college.
You're not looking for husbands for them or anything, are you?
Well, they've got boyfriends that are pretty good guys. We'll see if the jury's out. None of them are good enough for me, but I have to lower my expectations. I'm not going to say standards. I'll say my expectations.
All right. So they got the three daughters. All right. Yep.
Yeah. And two of them have good jobs. And I wonder if I know when I got out of college, I got a whole life insurance policy with, and now if I had to, you know, I mean, I know that there's a lot of varying things, so I'll let you say the different pros and cons of that. But if I had to do it now, I would be paying about the same amount that I'm paying for term insurance now since I got it so long ago.
Yeah. So let me answer your question. I know exactly where you're going, Joe. So you bought, and I'm assuming you bought it in 1985, 80, something like that?
Yeah, it's probably like 90s, probably in the 90s, even though it was a little while after college. It was a good while probably after college. I think it was in the 90s.
Okay.
I'm 65.
Okay, so you know, you bought it in late 80s, early 90s, okay? Right?
Yeah.
All right. So I would not in any way, shape, or form recommend to a young person to buy a whole life policy from or anyone else, and that drives the agents crazy. And there's good reasons for that, and that is that your daughters should be focusing all of their extra cash and savings to their 401ks and their IRAs and their Roth IRAs and things of that sort. They're going to do far better than putting it with an insurance company. Now, let's go back to your situation, because you're saying, yeah, my deal wasn't, that turned out to be a pretty good deal. But you have to understand that you actually just happened to fall into the perfect scenario when you bought your policy. And I don't think, if you think about the future, I don't think it's going to duplicate what happened for you 30, 40 years ago. So let's go to it. You got an insurance policy. That means that you are a co-owner of the company as a policyholder, and any of the profits of the company inured to the policyholders, okay? So when you bought your policy, they said, Joe, your premium's going to be X, because if you die, we have to pay off and we have to make sure we have enough money. And since we're not a publicly traded company and we can't go to the markets to raise money and so forth, we don't have shareholders, the only one we can count on to pay the death benefits is you and your other co-policy holders. So we're going to charge you a little more than what's necessary, because we're assuming that the markets are going to do this, and we're going to assume the bond market's going to do this, and we're going to assume that it's going to cost us this much money to hire all these people to do all this, et cetera, et cetera. Now go fast forward 30, 40 years later. The market went through the roof during that period of time. Interest rates collapsed, and as interest rates went down dramatically, their bond holdings went through the roof. The death mortality rate went from like 65, 70 years age, average life expectancy, all the way up to 87, even 90 years life expectancy. And what took an absolute legion of people to run the back offices is now down to probably hundreds of people with technology. They probably only need a staff of hundreds, which used to take thousands to do. And so the cost of the insurance, the death benefits that were paid out, they all changed dramatically from what they thought they were going to do. And all that money they had collected, all that money they made in the stock market, inured back to you. And your policy turned out to be a pretty good deal. And there are agents out there now selling it to everybody and his brother, saying, look at the wonderful thing that's happened to all these people. You want to be a part of this now, too. And I'm saying, well, wait a minute. Technology's already driven a lot of the administration of the policy out. The market's already gone through the roof. Interest rates are already down to the lowest they've ever been in history, et cetera, et cetera. I would not be a fan of life insurance as an investment for a young person. I would not encourage it under pretty much any circumstance, except one where, you know, maybe I have an uninsurable interest that I somehow or another I can get insurance, and the only way I can get it is through whole life. Maybe I would do it. And that's a long answer to your question, but hopefully I gave you something there to think about.
Great answer. Can I ask you a really quick, important question?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have borrowed against it, but I still have a death benefit of about $100,000 between two policies that I have, and it would be a lot higher had I not borrowed against it. Should I, and I'm still building back cash flow, and I'm not in danger of losing the policies.
That's the key. That's the key, Joe, is that you have to make sure that debt will not implode the policy. That's the key. As long as you're sure that the policy is not too much debt and the interest they're charging will not implode the policy, then you're fine, and there's no reason to pay the debt back any.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, because I'm still building.
Yeah, absolutely. You just have to be absolutely sure that policy will not implode on you. That's the key. All right, my friend? I got to run.
Really helpful. Thank
good,
you.
Good call. Good question. Michael, good to have you.
It was great to be with you.
All right. Well, we've got to go. We'll be back next week. Mark, you hold on. I'm going to answer your question after the show. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. What I'd like to do to you, shower the people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are gonna be much better.